Thank you for that introduction. As he said, my name is Wes France, and I'll be talking to you about tank mixing S-metolachlor with other residual herbicides in order to improve the efficacy on Palmer amaranth. So Palmer amaranth is currently has documented resistant to 8 sites of action in the U.S., most of these representing post or contact emergence herbicide, contact applied herbicides, which are reactive control rather than preventative controls such as residuals. Therefore, you can have problems such as late emerging Palmer amaranth, which escapes control, or even untimely applications that allow larger Palmer amaranth to escape control of post applications. Therefore, there is great benefit from preventing Palmer amaranth emergence in the first place. This is commonly done through application of residual herbicides, either as pre-plant pre's or even post application of residual herbicides until the crop can form a canopy and reduce weed seed emergence. So previous research has shown that Palmer amaranth emergence was reduced at or greater than 70% at 96 days after treatment with a tank mix application of flumioxazin and pyroxysulfone, whereas emergence was controlled at 63% at 90 days after treatment with S-metolachlor applied alone. So, however, S-metolachlor-resistant Palmer amaranth has been confirmed in Arkansas as of 2019. However, this resistance doesn't seem to confer to other chlorosetamide herbicides. But because S-metolachlor is frequently used in cotton and soybean in the U.S., this might necessitate the use of multiple residual herbicides or take mixing S-metolachlor with other residual herbicides in order to achieve effective control. So this is an image of a study conducted at the University of Arkansas looking at over 200 accessions of Palmer amaranth with the non-treated accessions on the right and the treated accessions applied with one rate of 1 pint per acre of S-metolachlor on the left. You can see that overall there was very good control. However, there were a few escapes that I will show in a couple of these slides coming up. For example, here we have our non-susceptible standard on the top versus our resistant variety on the bottom. And you can see that versus the treated and non-treated on the bottom, that there was at best 50% control, leaving more than enough Palmer amaranth to replenish the soil seed bank. And these pictures were taken 21 days after treatment. Here's an image of another accession that was more effectively controlled with S-metolachlor. However, these plants, more robust due to lack of competition, are still more than enough to replenish the soil seed bank due to Palmer amaranth's prolific seed production. So here's a box and whisker plot showing mortality of Palmer amaranth on the y-axis from 0 to 100 and susceptibility to 1 pint per acre rate of S-metolachlor on the x-axis. And you can see on average there is about 90% control of Palmer amaranth with a 1 pint per acre rate of S-metolachlor. And this ranged commonly from about 70 to 95% control. However, there were several escapes, including the 9 accessions you see below 50% control, and even those certainly below 75% control were not sufficiently controlled with a 1 pint rate of S-metolachlor. So my question is, if we could tank mix another residual herbicide with S-metolachlor, would it increase control of resistant accessions of Palmer amaranth? So the hypothesis of this experiment was that the addition of common residual herbicides to S-metolachlor will improve control of resistant Palmer amaranth. And therefore, the objective was to determine the impact of adding pyroxysulfone, azedua, and acetachlor as warrant to S-metolachlor formulated as dual magnum for residual control of Palmer amaranth. So here's a list of my treatments, including 4 rates of S-metolachlor at 1, 1 and a third, 1 and 2 third, and 2 pints per acre of dual magnum. And also Zidua applied alone, Zidua tank mixed with dual magnum at 1 pint, Zidua tank mixed with dual magnum at 1 and a third pints, and Warrant applied alone, Warrant tank mixed with 1 pint per acre of dual magnum, and Warrant tank mixed with 1 and a third pint per acre of dual magnum. Now, I did not include the 2 higher rates of dual magnum with the tank mixing of Zidua and Warrant because these are not recommended rates for most states and in most soil textures. However, it will be important later in my presentation. So this experiment was a bare ground study, and we applied a burn-down application of Gramoxone at 40 ounces per acre before that we applied the residual herbicides. All Take Mix partners were applied at recommended rates, and the soil was a Dundee silt loam with 1.9% organic matter and a pH of 5.4. The field did contain a mixture of susceptible and resistant espontilochore palm amaranth biotypes. All data was analyzed in jump version 14.2, and means were separated using Fisher's protected least significant difference at an alpha value of 0.05. Replication was randomized in the FIT model platform, and we ran the data. And we also used jump to create a logistic three-parameter model that will be shown later in this presentation. Ratings were taken using visual palm amaranth control at 28 days after treatment and counts per square meter taken at 28 days after treatment. Before I get into my graphs, I'd like to show an image of our non-treated versus the two rates, lower rates of dual magnum. And between the two rates of dual magnum, you can see that there was an increase in palm amaranth control. However, when you compare that to the non-treated, it doesn't appear that there's any greater control of palm amaranth. This is due to, I would say, a competition with the barnyard grass that is present in the non-treated check, but not the other two. This phenomenon was noted by Brabham in a study published in 2019, where resistant biotypes of Palmer amaranth did not have to compete with barnyard grass when applied with a 1 pint per acre rate of dual magnum versus the non-treated, where barnyard grass was present, but in the treated plots was controlled with dual magnum. So here's another image of our non-treated versus our treatment with the high rate of dual magnum plus Sidua, and you can see at 42 days after treatment, there was much better control with the Sidua treatment versus the non-treated. And when we look at our Sidua plus dual magnum versus Warrant plus dual magnum, there was much better control with Sidua versus Warrant, leading me to wonder if maybe there was beginning to be some resistance to acetochlor, but that is not confirmed. So to set up this graph for you, we have palm amaranth control in percent from 0 to 100 on the y-axis and take mix partner on the x-axis. The blue bar represents either dual magnum applied at 1 pint per acre either alone or with Sidua or Warrant, and the green bar represents dual magnum applied at 1 1/3 pint per acre either alone or with Sidua or Warrant, and I have included the orange bar as either Sidua or Warrant applied alone with no dual magnum take mixed. You can see here that either rate of dual magnum was not different. However, with control ranging from 30 to 40%, it was not very effective at controlling palm amaranth in this trial. Sidua, however, did control over 50% of palm amaranth and was equivalent to the control of Warrant applied with either rate of dual magnum, whereas Warrant alone was less than 10% control. And our best treatments were Sidua applied with either rate of dual magnum, which had control upwards of 80% and even over 90% with the high rate of dual magnum. And therefore, and when we look at the same data, but with our square meter counts from 0 to 50 on the y-axis, you can see the data is mirrored very well, with the Sidua treatments having the lowest counts per square meter, followed by our dual magnum treatments, which were not significantly different, which was fairly equivalent to our Warrant treatments, and with Warrant applied alone having the most counts per square meter, and again, mirroring the data from the previous slide pretty well. So I mentioned that we included four rates of dual magnum in this study. We used that to create this graph showing what palm amaranth survival on the y-axis from 30 to 100, and rate in grams of active ingredient per hectare on the x-axis, although I've included the rate in pints per acre in the graph. You can see at the first point, there was over 50% survival of palm amaranth with 1 pint per acre or a 1x rate. By the time you get to a 2x rate, you can see that control is only about 35% survival is about 35%. However, that is still not effective control of palm amaranth. We used that data to create this graph. As a reminder, at 1 pint per acre, we had a little over 50% survival of palm amaranth. And we used the previous data to estimate what rate would achieve 10% survival of palm amaranth. And that was about a 4x rate of palm amaranth, or 4,000 grams of active ingredient per hectare. And while you can control 90% of palm amaranth or have a 10% survival rate with a 4x rate of espontilochlor, that is not feasible or cost effective for producers to apply. Therefore, I'll move into my conclusions. Escitalopram alone was not an effective option for control of resistant palmar amaranth. However, the addition of pyroxysulfone residua to escitalopram, which I will note would be a post-directed lay-by treatment in cotton, did improve residual control of the resistant biotype. Also, acetochlor did not seem to give adequate control when mixed with escitalopram. Therefore, I failed to reject my hypothesis. Some practical implications include that escitalopram plus pyroxysulfone may not be a sustainable solution because both herbicides are group 15, and use of acetochlor for control of this population is already questionable. For future research, I'd like to repeat this experiment with non-group 15 herbicides and evaluate the residual plus contact herbicide programs rather than just residuals applied alone for control of this resistant palmar amaranth biotype. I'd also like to evaluate the efficacy of pre-play incorporated residuals. With that, I'd like to thank my weed science colleagues for the help on this project, and I'd like to thank the University of Arkansas Department of Agriculture for allowing me to present this data, and I'll open the floor to questions.